the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're on page 4 of The Way of Living in the Divine Will, Part 1, Volume 11, at the bottom of page 4. 6:12-19:13, by uniting with me and identifying with me, the soul unites with my mind, producing many divine lives of holy thought in the minds of soul, of everyone, past, present, and future. So what we see is it's a really new beginning that's happening. This is something that God has planned from the beginning of time, and he's asking us, he's pleading with us to really begin to understand what he wants. He not only wants us to be one with him, but he uses the word to unite with him. And he says, when the soul unites with my mind, the soul will produce many divine lives of divine holy thoughts in the midst of your family, your nation, the world. Everything is being changed. Why? Finally, someone is beginning to live this life, this light, this life of God. And as the soul unites with my eyes, she produces many divine lives of divine holy gazes in souls. So right now, many people are gazing upon that which is not holy, not good, not saintly. And what the Lord is asking of us is he's asking us to really begin to see things from a divine perspective, not a human perspective. Okay, so a lot of people are addicted to television. They're addicted to the internet. They're addicted to gazing upon that which is not of God. And that has to be broken. As a matter of fact, that's what forgot her name. But she said there'll be many black tabernacles, Elizabeth Ann Seton, there'll be many black tabernacles there'll be a black tabernacle in every house that they will focus on. And that's the television. And, you know, God wants to free us of that. We've been programmed. A lot of people can't think clearly because of what they've been programmed to do throughout their life. Thinking that this is okay, which is not okay with God. And so God is saying, this is what I'm asking. I'm asking you to unite with me in my mind, my eyes, my heart, my soul. Unite with God. And he says, in the same way, if she unites with my mouth, the soul will give life to words, to the words that she speaks. How many times do parents say to the kids over and over and over and over again the same thing, and nothing happens? Well, Jesus says, when you're united with me, it has to happen. Your words are not your words anymore. They're my words. And that which is basically foreign to the children becomes a natural thing. Why? Because God wants to use us to bring light and life and light to everyone. So he says, and if she unites to my heart, to my desires, to my hands, to my steps, to every heartbeat, she shall give a life. Now, this is not just words. It's a divine life that Jesus is talking about. The divine life to desires, a divine life to actions, a divine life to steps. He says, but holy divine lives, because I, God, contain the creative divine power within me. Now, the reason I'm putting the word in there is this is not human. this is divine will. And to enter into the divine will of God, this is what, to go back to what God did with Adam in the beginning. He breathed this divine life, this divine light, this divine love into Adam. And when Adam said no, for the last 4,000 years, 6,000 years, it's been no to God. And it's a very natural thing for us because we're not in the will of God. We're not living in the will of God. So the saints have taught us the last 2,000 years how to do the will of God. Some good people of the Old Testament, holy people of the Old Testament, prepared ourselves for the Messiah. And when Our Lady came, her prayers were so powerful that the Messiah came through her. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus wants sanctification to occur. The time of creation of the Father was when he created Adam, created the universe, created Adam, and then Adam fell. The time of redemption was 4,000 years later. Prayer, 4,000 years of prayer. That's why when we light the candles during Advent, there's four candles. One candle represents 1,000 years. 1,000 years of praying for the Messiah. 1,000 years of praying for the Messiah. 1,000 years of praying for the Messiah. Then finally, after the 4,000th year, the Messiah is here. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now that you've learned the basics, the ABCs of the Catholic faith, now what I want you to do is receive this divine life. And not only to do the will of God, as the saints have taught us, but now to live in the will of God. And that's why this is different. Uniting with Jesus, with our mind, with our eyes, with our heart, with our soul, what happens? He says, again, it's you bring about holy divine lives because Jesus is doing that in us. Jesus gaze in my gazing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. Jesus breathe in my breathing. You know, your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day. So you're disciplining yourself to live the life that Adam lost. This is what Jesus taught Louisa. Therefore, together with me, one with Jesus, fuse with Jesus. To fuse ourselves is to get two steel rods and weld them together. They can't be broken. Well, they can, but they're not supposed to. They're stronger together. And what God is asking of us is that we begin to read, study, and put into practice these truths that he has given to Louisa, these promises he's given to Louisa, these divine messages that he's giving to Louisa. Why? So that we can begin to live this abundant life. This is why it's so great. It's so glorious what God is doing. How magnificent is our God that he has given us. We're nothing. We're nobody. We are the worst. And yet he's giving us this gift. And he's saying, would you be willing to link yourself with Louisa so that I can give this to the whole world? May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he's saying to us. And what does that mean? The devil's been banished from heaven. The devil will be banished from earth. So he wants to start with us. And, he's saying to us very, very clearly, together with me, the soul creates, the soul does whatever God does. That's likeness. To be in the likeness of your parents, you sound like them, you look at them, you look like them, you laugh at them, laugh like them, you walk like them, you talk like them, you're in their likeness. And what Jesus wants, remember he said, be fruitful and multiply. What is he asking? He's saying to be like God. To be in God's image and likeness. It's not to be God. That'll never happen. But he breathed into the dust. He breathed the ruah, the God, the breath of God into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And that's what he wants for us to begin to live. He says, I'm tired of the way you're living. Read the three appeals. I'm tired of the way you're living. I know how you're living. And since you won't come after me, Jesus said, I am going to come after you. And that's what he's doing with this book of heaven. He is the one that has given us the book of heaven, not us. Nobody gave, if somebody buys it and gives it to you, great. But Jesus knew that that book would be placed in your hands. He planned from the beginning of time that that book of heaven would be placed in your hands. Why? So that you'll read it, study it, put it into practice, so that you can begin to live again the life that Adam lost. To live like no one has yet, except for Louisa. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. It's a new beginning for the world. How glorious is this? He says, now this union with me, part to part, mind to mind, heart to heart, etc., produces in you, in us, the highest degree, the divine life of my divine will, of my divine love. The highest degree. The saints, now we love the saints. The saints are great. I mean, beautiful, holy, saintly, but they did not live in the will of God. They did the will of God because they didn't have Louisa. We have Louisa. Louisa is going to teach us exactly what Jesus gave to her to put down on paper so that we would read it and we would live this. He'd say to Louisa, this book is not about you, Louisa. He says, you're nothing but a blade of grass. He says, this book is about me and how my children will begin to be in my image and likeness. Again, as Adam, what Adam had before the fall, but even more, this is why on Holy Saturday we say, oh, happy fall of Adam. God is going to give us more than what he gave to Adam. He said this to Louisa. If Adam did not fail, you get this. If Adam did not fall, I, Jesus, the Lord, God Almighty, would have given him the book of heaven. I would have taught him the book of heaven, and then he would have taught his children this. But because Adam fell, it took the Son of God and the Mother of God to come to earth to be the new Adam and the new Eve. Why? So that they could have a newborn. And it took 2,000 years of prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, mortification. Why? To get ready for the kingdom of God to be brought back on earth as it is in heaven. The only prayer that Jesus gave us was the Our Father. And now he says, I want this Our Father to be fulfilled. How? Well, if you read, if you listen to Archbishop Bicherri, the one in charge of the cause of Louisa, who went to see his heavenly reward, what does he say? He says, there was no one in the history of the church to teach us how the kingdom was going to come on earth as it is in heaven, how the fulfillment of our Father would take place. He says, this is Louisa's job. How fortunate we are to know Louisa. How fortunate we are to have the writings that Jesus dictated to Louisa so that we can begin to know the how and the why this is going to happen. And so we're reading, we're studying this, we're putting this into practice. This is what Jesus is asking. So he says, in this holy divine will, the Father is formed. In this holy divine will, in this love, the Holy Spirit, and through the operating and the words and the works and the thoughts and everything else that comes from this divine will is from this divine love. The Son is formed within the soul. See, we've been baptized. We belong to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, what's happening is it's a new beginning that's happening. It's not new. It's the oldest gift. But for us, we've never experienced this before. He says, there is the Holy Trinity in souls. That's how, when we were baptized, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There, the Holy Spirit is being formed in us. He's beginning to teach us how and why he loves us so much. So if we need to operate, it is indifferent whether we operate in the Trinity in heaven or in the Holy Trinity within the souls on earth. This is why he created us, so that he could reign in us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right now, most of the world is controlled by the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's not for us. The world, the flesh, and the devil is not for us. It's to be under the world. Basically, we're supposed to surrender everything so our world is the Father reigning in us. The world, the flesh, it's not the corrupted flesh, but the flesh of Jesus. We have his body, his blood that we eat and drink. And then finally, of the devil. It's no longer of the spirit of the devil, but the being filled with the Holy Spirit. So the as we get into this gift, the Father becomes alive in us. The Son becomes alive in us. The Holy Spirit becomes alive in us. Why? As he says right here, it's indifferent whether we the Trinity operate in the Holy Trinity in heaven or operate in the Holy Trinity in the souls on earth. So we get to understand why we were baptized. This ontological change that occurs at holy baptism is so important that we are no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We become sons and daughters of God. And that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. So he's going to teach us the how and the why this is going to be done. So volume 11, 8, 27, 19, 15. My daughter, when a soul fuses herself, that's welding herself to God, like two pieces of metal. The soul that fuses, we don't want to be separated at all from Jesus. In my most holy divine will, it happens when two containers of different fluids are poured into one another. The first remains filled with what the second contained, and the second with what's content, with the content of the first. In the same way, the creature remains filled with me, Jesus, and I with her. Filled with God, not partially. And since my divine will contains divine sanctity, divine beauty, divine power, divine love, by filling herself with me, Jesus, fusing and abandoning herself in my most holy divine will, the soul comes to be filled, listen to this, with my divine sanctity. This is not the sanctity of the saints. That the saints became sanctity, have the sanctity with a human sanctity, not divine. See, a lot of the saints had to go to purgatory because of their lives. They didn't repent fully. I mean, that's what you read it in the lives of the saints. But to be filled with divine sanctity, there is no purgatory. Jesus says, how can I purge myself? There's nothing to purge. So what God is asking of us is to do more than what the saints have done. Can you believe that one? We're nothing. We're nobody. We don't have the love that St. Francis have. We don't have the courage of the saints or the strength or the fortitude. We don't have that. We're very weak. Yet, Jesus wants to give this to the world through us. Why? So that he can prove to the world that it's not us, that he has done this. So he says, by filling herself with me, fusing and abandoning herself in my most holy divine will, the soul comes to be filled with my divine sanctity, filled with my divine love, filled with my divine beauty, etc. In the most perfect way given to a soul, given to a creature. That's exactly what Jesus said. Be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. He expects us to be perfect. You go, how can I be perfect? I'm in the fallen human nature. Jesus says, read the book of heaven. I will show you how to become perfect. It's so exciting. And now nobody's there yet. I wish we were. But it's little by little Jesus is giving this to us. So the more that you read, the more that you study this, the more that you put this into practice, the sooner the kingdom is going to be established in us on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. So he says this, and I, God, feel, I am. Now he's using his name, his title. I am filled with that soul. And in finding in that soul my divine sanctity, my divine beauty, my divine love, etc., I, God, look at these things as if they were her own image and likeness. And I love, like this soul so much, as to become enamored with the soul. God enamored with a human. How can that happen? It's when the fusion takes place, when that oneness takes place, when that unity takes place. As he showed us in the first few writings, he expects an awful lot from us. He expects us to be perfect. And this is why he says to Louisa, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, he says, I am going to make each of them a divine masterpiece. What does that mean? There's no jealousy. What God has planned for you, he's planned for no one else. What God wants for you, he has given to no one else. And so what he's asking of us is to begin to live this life the way Jesus, that's why you go to your room, close the door and pray. You read the book of heaven. Let Jesus tell you what he's planned for you. Let Jesus show you what he expects of you. And then begin to live it. Again, it's like riding a bicycle for the first time. You're going to fall off, you get back on, fall off, get back on. But in time, what will happen is you will become a divine masterpiece of God. Everyone in your family will become a divine masterpiece in God. See, God has planned to give this gift to all the world, but he needs the beginning. He needed Louisa, the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. Now he's asking us to be linked to her. He says, everything's done. Everything's completed. St. Thomas Aquinas says that. He says, if the veil was lifted, we would see we were on the throne of God in the glorified body, praising God eternally. That's why he pounded on the desk. And he says, this desk is not as real as eternity. This desk, he says, will turn to dust. Eternity is forever. That's where we're going. That's where we're supposed to be living. Not here. Not with a flesh that becomes food for worms. But a new beginning. And you have to understand, this is what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, there'll be the greatest saints of the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's found in the book of heaven. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus says, he will reveal to you all truths and will remind you of everything that I have said. That's the book of heaven. Wait till you hear what the illumination is about. Woo-hoo. Hang on to your hats. This is a glorious time to be alive. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. So he says, so much, and I look at these things as if they were the soul's own. They belong to the soul. And I love like this soul so much as to become enamored with that soul in such a way as to keep her jealously in my inmost sacred heart, enlightening her and embellishing her continuously with my divine qualities. That's the sixth part of the first 6 days in the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. There's a step each day. The last day, the sixth day on the first 6 days, we beg God that we will receive all the divine qualities and have them reign in us as much as it's possible for a human soul to contain. Divine qualities, not human qualities, divine qualities. That's why he created us. He says this, enriching her, embellishing her continuously with my divine qualities to be ever more delighted and enamored. If this is heaven, happiness, peace, joy, this is heaven on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. 5:12, 2:4, 19:19. My divine will must be in you. He's showing us the way we're going to get through what's coming. He says the divine will must be there. This is the only way that you're going to get through this. There's no saintly way. There's no saint today that can stop what's coming. There's no saint. What God gave to Louisa is the way. And that's why, if you think about it, Louisa was called, while she was alive, Louisa la Santa, Louisa the saint. Father Bucci says, this is what's great. He says that the world of the church will know that Louisa was the saint for this time. The Louisa La Santa, the saint. The church, this is what he says, they are going to understand who Louisa is as the saint. Well, how come we haven't heard about Louisa? It's a secret. God loves secrets. What's the biggest secret we have? Christ in the tabernacle. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus. Nobody's there. Nobody's there. John Paul II said he wanted the Eucharist in every parish. Eucharistic adoration in every parish. How many parishes do you have that in? Thank God we have the internet. Now you can have Jesus in your home every single day where you can adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and glorify him and worship him. How glorious is this? Jesus is asking us, can you hear his command? My divine will must be in you as the first wheel of the clock. Okay, the main gear. Everything else works with that main gear. If it moves, all the other wheels move, and the clock signals the hours and the minutes. And so all the accord is in the motion of the first wheel. That's the divine will. He says it has to be in you, and watch what I will do. If this first wheel has no motion, the clock is stopped. How many times when we pray, nothing occurs? We get worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative throughout the day. Why? We don't have that first wheel in us moving continuously, taking care of all the other parts. In the same way, the first wheel in you must be my most holy divine will that must give motion to your thoughts, to your heart, to your desires, to everything. And since my divine will is the central wheel of my divine being, of God himself, of creation and everything, your emotion comes out of this center and shall come to substitute for many acts of all people, past, present, and future. See, it's the come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. Then you will renew the face of the earth. That's what's coming. And multiplying in the motions of everyone, past, present, and future, as central motion, it shall come to lay before my throne on everyone's behalf the acts of all creatures, past, present, and future. And listen to this, substituting for everyone and everything. That's our God. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. Nothing that they do, but God, what God is going to do for them. Therefore, be attentive. Now, to be attentive to me is read. Go to your room, close the door, and pray. Be alone with God. Let God teach you. Therefore, your mission is great. Do you believe that? Do you believe why you're on earth today? God has great plans for you and for the world. You're not here by chance. You're not a Catholic by chance. It is fully divine. Your mission is fully divine. Do you believe that one? It's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about living a divine life. That's why we were created. Nobody gets to heaven by being good. I hear that at funerals all the time. Oh, he was a good man. He's up there playing golf right now with all his buddies. Whoa. No way. You can't get to heaven by being good. You've got to share in the divinity of Christ. That which is said every day at Holy Mass. Being good and holy and saintly, most have to go to purgatory for a long time. Remember that priest, two priests, the priest said to his friend, when I die, say Mass for me immediately. So when he heard his friend die, he said Mass 3 hours later. His friend appeared to him and said, why did you wait 300 years? Why did you wait 300 years to say Mass for me? Purgatory, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, the flames of purgatory are the flames of hell, but they're not everlasting. You have to make up for every thought, every word, every deed. Every time you were angry, every time you have to repair for all of this. This is very important to understand. Worry, every time you worried, what you do when you worry is you bring to life the demon of worry. You keep it alive by feeding it your worry. They want you worried. They stay alive with that. They live off that energy that you produce. Anger, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. All of that keeps the demons alive. Jesus would say to Louisa, your worry, your murmuring in your head disturbs me. I can't talk to you because of your murmuring in your head. What's wrong with murmuring? He says, it's not of God. Jesus will tell us how murmuring helps us later on, but it's not our murmuring. Where's your thought? Think about it. You have to stand before God when you die with for every thought, every word, every deed. When you bothered someone, when you annoyed someone, consciously or unconsciously, on purpose or not on purpose, it's very, very important that sin is like a stone into a pond. You sin and the pond expands with ripples through the whole lake. It's the same thing when we sin. It affects everyone and everything. Earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues. Why? Because of sin. And there's no such thing as personal sin. It's sin creates havoc. And if we, in any way, shape, or form, consciously or unconsciously, on purpose or not on purpose, God's going to show that to us. Now, God is merciful and loving, but he's just as well. He's just. and everything has to be put back in order. I don't want to go to purgatory. And that's why I keep on reading Louisa, because Jesus is showing us, as you enter into this, you can repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, for your family, your friends, everything. So he says, therefore, be attentive. You've got to understand this. Your mission is great. It is fully divine. Write that. Put that on your mirror. Your mission is great. It is fully divine. God's got plans. Volume 12, 9, 12, 21, 19, 20. My daughter. Less than 100. It's 100 years ago, 2020. My daughter, as the soul does her acts of my divine will, the act remains confirmed in my most holy divine will. That is, if she prays in my divine will, remaining confirmed in my divine will, she receives the divine life of prayer in such a way that she no longer needs an effort in order to pray. See what's happening here? It's transforming you, transforming me, but shall feel within herself the spontaneous promptness in praying. See, it's a new way that's coming. It's the life that Jesus lived. It's the life that Mary lived. Spontaneous prayer, spontaneous praise, spontaneous adoration of God. What we have to do is we have to discipline ourselves. That's what the saints teach us, to pray. One of the first things we were taught in the seminary is you pray, you do your breviary, whether you want to or not. And sometimes it's like you're not in the mood. But what's happened with the divine will is it's peace, joy, and happiness. Why? You're one with Jesus. It's in such a way that she no longer needs the effort. Oh, I got to get on my knees to pray. But shall feel within herself the spontaneous promptness in praying. In fact, remaining confirmed in my most holy divine will, she shall feel within herself the divine font of life. This is where we're going. The life of prayer, the life of adoration, the life of glorifying God. It's heaven. Almost like a healthy eye that makes no effort in seeing, but naturally looks at objects in delights. It enjoys them because it contains the divine life of divine light within the eye. We're beginning to say to Jesus, you gaze in my gazing. And Jesus says, good, that's what I want. I want you to see things divinely. I want you to know things divinely. But the sick eye, and this is where we are today, because of our fallen nature, how many strains, how it suffers in looking. In the same way, if she suffers in my most holy divine will, if she operates in my most holy divine will, she shall feel within herself the divine life of patience, the divine life of operating in a saintly way. So as her acts remain confirmed in my divine will, they lose the human weakness. They lose the human miseries. They lose what is human and remain substituted by fonts of divine life, divine love, divine light, love, and life. Do you see what God is doing? This is such a glorious time. Read, Louisa. You're going to be so happy because he's always talking to us. He's always saying there's nothing to worry about. Look at what I've got planned for you. I've got great plans for you. Begin to live one with me. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Learn to say fiat. Okay, for example, when Joseph said to the Blessed Mother, when Herod was going to kill the children, he said, we got to go to Egypt. And our lady didn't say, hey, wait a minute, we got a house in Nazareth, you know, and we're not going to leave that house. She said, fiat. We've got to learn to say fiat in every situation, whether we recognize the goodness that's coming from it or not. It's always fiat. Let it be done as you say. This is what Jesus taught Louisa, and this is what he's asking of us. Volume 15, 1, 5, 19, 23. My divine will must be like the air that one breathes. Take a deep breath. Say to Jesus, breathe in me as you breathe. The Ruah of God, breathe in me as you breathe into Adam. I want to receive this divine life. Breathe, he says. The divine will must be like the air that one breathes. Start now. Every time you take a breath, take a deep breath, say, Jesus, I want to have the Ruah of God, the breath of God, breathe into me as Adam, breathe in this abundant life so I can come to alive again as you have made man to be. And while it cannot be seen, it can be felt. It cannot be seen, but it gives life. It penetrates everywhere, even to the most innermost fibers, to give life to each beat of the heart. Wherever the breath enters, even into darkness or the abysses, into the most secret receptacles, it constitutes life of everything. That has to be the divine will. Breathe into me. I want this gift. In the same way, my divine will shall be more than air within you. That coming out of you shall constitute itself life of everything. Every thought, every word, every deed. Therefore, be more attentive. Read more. Study more. Put this into practice. And follow the divine will of your Jesus. Because attentiveness, listen to this, shall make you know. See, knowledge is important. To know, love, and serve God. You have to know, love, and serve God. Now it's to know, love, and possess God. Attentiveness shall make you know where you are and what you are doing. Knowledge shall make you appreciate and esteem more the divine royal palace of my most holy divine will. And one of the reasons for wearing the scapula is clothing of heaven. Jesus says, I want to reclothe you in divinity. I want you to return to your like he says here, your divine royal palace. It's not your home here on earth. Christ says, I am going to prepare a place for you. And then he says, I'm coming back to take you with me. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Again, this is very, very important. Everything's going to change for you. Everything. See, attentiveness, reading, studying, and put this into practice is the way to knowledge. And knowledge changes a person as well as things, disposing him to receive great goods. Everything's changed. Everything. You cannot be the same. I think Archbishop Cassati said this at the opening of the cause in 1994. He said, it's going to be a complete, I can't think of the words, but it's going to be a complete different transformation that's going to take place in you. Something that you've never experienced before. Why? Go back to Our Lady of Revelation. Time has now come to an end. The time of Lucifer has come to an end. Get ready for the new era. Get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Get ready for the new Jerusalem. That's what's coming. So by knowing, this is reading, studying, put into practice, you are in the royal palace of my most holy divine will. Cut that out and tape that to your, I'm telling you, you're not going to see yourself after you do this. Tape that to your mirror in your bathroom. Knowing, reading, studying, and put this into practice, you are in the royal palace of God. He says, and you shall always receive. It's forever. And shall take so much as to be able to give to everyone, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, give to all your brothers and sisters. See, Jesus says, I want the divine will in the midst of creatures. When you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, and your family comes to your home, who is there? You and with your miserable condition, or Jesus, Mary? Are you peaceful? Are you joyful? Are you happy? Are you letting Jesus look at them? Are you as Jesus speaking to them? Is Jesus listening to them? Or are you there? And it's not much fun with you being there, but it's a lot of fun when God is there. They'll go, what's wrong with you? How come you're so peaceful, joyful, and happy? And then they'll go, this is what they say. I want what you have. I want this. I don't find it in any place else. I want to receive this peace, joy, and happiness that you possess. Why are you so peaceful, joyful, and happy? Don't you know what's going on? Well, I'm reading the Book of Heaven, and it's great. And they go, what's wrong with you? And again, the ridicule, the mocking, that, you know, you are brainwashed. And it's like, God is in charge. God's got plans. He loves his little ones so much. Volume 16, 12, 4, 1923. Having to be visible to all, taking on human flesh, I, Jesus, had to use a creature from the human race, whom I, God, had to exalt above all in order to accomplish my high designs. He used the Blessed Mother. Okay, he needed Our Lady for this to happen, a human. Now, if this happened in order to form the kingdom of redemption on earth, in the same way, having to form the kingdom of my divine will on earth as it is in heaven, it is necessary that another creature be known. Now, we're not saying Luisa is equal to the Blessed Mother. She's the little daughter. Mary's mother and queen, no one can compare to the Blessed Mother. No one. He says, but for the kingdom to happen, it is necessary that another creature be known, in whom true reigning of my divine will must have its origin, have its beginning, who she is, how much I have loved her, how I have sacrificed her for everyone. And this, her sacrifice was being in bed for 64 years, not eating, drinking, or sleeping. But not only that, Jesus crucified her every day. He said that to her. He says, she said to Jesus, why do I die every day and come back to life? If I'm going to die, bring me to heaven. And Jesus says, no, I want you to be crucified every day like me. And I want you to come back to life every day. I want you to be reborn every day, continuously. We haven't gotten to the sacrifices that Luisa has gone through. And when you go through them, there's no saint like her. He says, and how I have sacrificed Luisa for everyone and for each one. In a word, everything that my divine will has disposed and poured into Luisa, but by braiding you with it, the divine will, it is always my divine will that stands out. So what he says is there's three braids, Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. Jesus and Mary have been braided together. Now a human is braided together with Jesus, Mary. And that's why if you haven't read the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Luisa, read it. You will be astonished. What does this mean? What does this mean for mankind? What does this mean? So it's this braiding. The braiding you with the divine will, Jesus, Mary, now Luisa, it is always my divine will that stands out. These are the ways, these are the means in order to make the divine will known. These are the attractions, the spurs, the lights, the magnets, in order to draw everyone, past, present, and future, to come to live in this kingdom of divine happiness, divine grace, divine peace, divine love. We have no idea what's coming. It's going to be glorious. Therefore, let your Jesus do this. Get out of my way, he says. Let me do this. What does that mean? He's saying basically, trust me, believe in me, hope in me. Read, study, and put this into practice and watch what I'm going to do for each and every one of you who does this. Jesus loves you very much, but do not want to afflict yourself even less. Worry about the way I, God, carry out the braiding of my divine will within you. Let God have his way. And like I said, if you say, well, this isn't for me, God says, of course it's not for you. You've already said no to God. How can I give it to you? When you say, I have no idea what this means, but I want it, God says, good, get out of the way. Watch what I'm going to do. Think only about continuing your flight in the eternal expanses of my supreme volition. I remember when we were in at the airport in Dallas, the thing I wanted to do was continue your flight in the divine will. And nobody wanted to put that down in paper. That was back in 1996. And I wanted that. I continue your flight. Here we are at an airport. I think it was one of the airlines, North American Airlines. No. But anyways, continue your flight. So we'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.